Welcome all of you here in the church. We're glad you're here. I'd like to welcome all of our online viewers. You guys can give them a round of applause. We want to welcome them into the house today. Glad you've decided to join us. And I want to say a special hello to all of our friends over at the Lockhart Correctional Facility who are watching us today. We are so glad to be able to join you. We miss you, we love you, and we cannot wait until we get to see you again. Hello, everyone. I'm Pastor Chris. I'm here today honored to be sharing the word with you. Pastor Robin is taking a much-needed trip to Colorado, and so, I'm glad that he gets to get a break. He's been working really hard, and we love our pastor so much, but I'm honored to be here with you today. We've been in the book of Acts. Who in the house today has been enjoying our journey through the book of Acts? Amen, amen. All right. You got your Bibles, right? You've been reading? Read along in the book. If you haven't, it's not too late. You can join us by reading the book of Acts. We still have, a week or two left on the series, so it's been really good. It's a life-giving book, and it's a life-changing book. I've certainly enjoyed reading it as well. This book is powerful. It covers the beginning of the new church and the disciples' journey. From the time that Jesus left the earth and commissioned them to build the church all the way up until today. In fact, the church that we're in today is a result of the Acts of the apostles and the disciples who worked to build it. Last week, Pastor Robin spoke about some themes out of the book of Acts, and he also spoke about how ordinary people can make a difference. And I'm going to pick right up where he left off today. I've got a few themes I want to cover with you. So if you're a note taker, the themes we're going to cover today is that we need to be bold. We need to use our story and our testimony to further the name of Jesus. And if we're going to do that, we need the Holy Spirit to help us. Amen? Amen. So today we're going to be in Acts 24 through 26. And during this time, we find the Apostle Paul is imprisoned, and he will be imprisoned for several years from this point. So let me just back up a little bit and tell you real quick the story of Paul, or the story of Saul and his conversion, in case you're joining us for the first time. I'm going to briefly cover some really rich text in the early chapters of Acts, but Saul, the disciples, after Jesus left the earth, were commissioned to begin building the church, and not like with hammer and nails, but going out and spreading what Jesus had done and helping the church to be converted into Christianity. And so as they were going about trying to establish these churches across the Mediterranean, there was a man and a Roman army that was trying to stop them, and that man was Saul. And Saul was led to destroy the church, to stop the Christians. He hated them. He very passionately and vehemently opposed what they were doing. He threw Christians in jail. He had them murdered. He burned down churches. He was a leader of a very strong political sect coming against the church. And then he met Jesus. And as he was going about destroying churches, God struck him down with a bright light and blinded him. And I'm going to summarize very quickly what happened. Basically, Jesus spoke to him and said, Paul, why are you persecuting me? And he commanded him to become a follower of Jesus. Saul was converted to Paul, and he became the Apostle Paul and joined the disciples. So he joined the other team and started helping to establish the church. While he did that, obviously, it stirred up a lot of controversy. And all the disciples were going about stirring up controversy because of the gospel that they were forwarding. Not everybody in the church was prepared to receive that gospel. And so there was a lot of infighting, backbiting, arguments about just about everything you can think of. And as a result of all of these disagreements, eventually Paul finds himself being arrested by the very people that he's trying to save. Story sounds familiar, sort of like what happened with Jesus, right? And so after he was arrested, he was beaten, he was mocked, he was lied on. They told false stories about the laws that he had broken. They beat him, and he had to sustain multiple trials. So he was tried by the Jewish leaders. He was tried by the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees, the Sadducees. He was tried by the Roman army. He was then tried by the current governor then tried again by the new governor that came after him, and eventually was tried by the Jewish king, King Agrippa. And all during this time, his faith never wavered. He stood firm in his belief in Jesus Christ, and the entire time, through this entire journey, his only mission was to continue furthering the gospel. He did this by speaking in truth, being standing on his faith, sharing his testimony, and boldly allowing the Holy Spirit to work in him. And so today, if you're a note taker, the title of this message is Your Story Matters. And we're going to be following a little bit of Paul's story and how he shared it while he was incarcerated. So my first point for you today is you need to talk too much. All of you need to talk too much. We're going to see very shortly that Paul could not keep his mouth shut. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Peter in the third book, chapter, verse 14. 1 Peter 3:14 says, "But even if you should suffer, as Paul was, for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed. And do not fear their intimidation, and do not be troubled. But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you, to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and with reverence." Paul could not wait for the opportunity to give his defense. Paul was going about preaching, and as he and the disciples went from church to church, all of them had different disagreements with him. Was Jesus Christ the Son of God? Did he really die? Was he really resurrected? Is he the Son? Was he the Messiah? Should we eat meat? Can we eat meat or can we not eat meat? Can we be circumcised or should we be circumcised? Is it Jews going to heaven or is it Gentiles? Like, what's the story here? And so as you can imagine, all of the leaders of the church were in confusion, and there was all of this anxiety around what's right and what's wrong and what we should do. Who should we follow? Who knows? And because of all this, the people began to get stirred up. And they got mad at Paul and the rest of the disciples because they didn't believe like they believed. They were still stuck in the law of the Old Testament and couldn't receive Jesus Christ. So let's look at what happened. Acts 21 and verse 27 is where I'm going to pick the story up. And this is right after Paul had been with the church for a few days and they were beginning to get angry. Verse 27 says, "When the 7 days were almost over, the Jews from Asia, upon seeing him in the temple, began to stir up all of the crowds and laid hands on him, crying out, 'Men of Israel, come to our aid. This is a man who preaches to all men everywhere.'" Hint, hint, underline that in your Bible. We're going to come back to that. "A man who preaches to all men everywhere. Against our people and against the law of this place. And besides, he has even brought Greeks into the temple and has defiled this holy place. For they had previously seen Trophimus the Ephesian in the city with him, and they supposed that Paul had brought him into the temple." So they fabricated this story. "Then all of the city was provoked, and the people rushed together, taking hold of Paul. They dragged him out of the temple, and immediately the doors of the temple were shut. While they were seeking to kill him, a report came up to the commander of the Roman cohort that all Jerusalem was in confusion." So you can kind of sense the pandemonium that was going on. Sounds kind of familiar, actually. "At once, he took along some soldiers and some centurions and ran down to them. And when they saw the commander and the soldiers, they stopped beating Paul." So they'd been beating Paul down at this point. "Then the commander came up and took hold of him and ordered him to be bound with two chains. And he began asking who he was and what he had done. But among the crowd, some were shouting one thing and some another. And when he could not find the facts because of the uproar, he ordered him to be brought into the barracks." And so you can see that all Paul did was go and preach the gospel of Jesus. That's all he ever did. He didn't get into all the different things and get into the midst of the arguments. He didn't defend himself by saying, "No, you're wrong, I'm right, this is what's going on." He just simply spoke about Jesus Christ. And as a result, guess what? People will disagree, right? And so what I'm trying to get to you today is that we need to follow the example of Paul. We're commanded to speak about Jesus everywhere we go, right? That is our responsibility as part of the church. It's not just about you coming here and listening to someone speak. It's about us getting out and sharing our word. And just know that when you begin to do that, people are going to disagree. That's okay. It's okay if people gossip about you. This is nothing new. We shouldn't spend a second even thinking about it. Don't fall into that trap. Just keep preaching Jesus. Keep talking. Keep talking. Talk too much. The people are going to come against you. Don't let it stop you. Paul never stopped talking. In fact, you're going to see in these trials that he couldn't wait to get his chance. Let me show you a couple of examples. Acts 21 and verse 31 through 35, this is his opportunity to talk to the Roman soldiers who had just captured him and saved him from being beaten. When he got to the stairs, he was carried by the soldier because of the violence of the mob. So he was beaten so bad he couldn't even walk. For the multitude of people kept following them, shouting, "Away with him, away with him." As Paul was about to be brought into the barracks, he said to the commander, "May I say something to you?" And so I can just kind of picture Paul right here. He's beaten down. Everybody's wondering, what's going on with this guy? Why is everybody upset? And what's he do? The first thing he does is he looks at the person who's captured him and says, "Hey, can I talk to you about Jesus? Can you and I just have a moment? Let me talk to you." And he goes on to say, "But Paul said, 'I'm a Jew of Tarsus in Cilicia, a citizen of no insignificant city, and I beg you, allow me to speak to the people.'" Mind you, the same people who just finished beating him. When he had given him permission, Paul, standing on the stairs, motioned to all the people with his hand, and when there was a great hush, he spoke to them in the Hebrew dialect. Fast forward, he doesn't get released. As a result of him sharing his story, he stays in prison, and they take him to the governor to be tried in front of the governor. So fast forward to chapter 24 and verse 1, and you'll get to see exactly how the governor allowed him to talk. So 24, verse 10, excuse me. "When the governor had nodded for Paul to speak, Paul responded, 'Knowing that for many years you've been a judge to this nation, I cheerfully make my defense.'" He's imprisoned, mind you. He's been beaten. He cannot wait for his opportunity to testify about what Jesus has done in his life. And by the way, as he begins to speak, all he talks about is what Jesus has done in his life. That's all he shares. He doesn't beg them to let him go. He doesn't proclaim that they're wrong for charging him. He just simply shares what God has done in his life. Fast forward, two trials later, he gets tried by Felix, doesn't get out. Gets tried by Festus, doesn't get out. This time he's in front of King Agrippa. And King Agrippa, same opportunity. Agrippa said to Paul, "You are permitted to speak for yourself." Then Paul stretched out his hand and proceeded to make his defense. And I kind of get this picture of Paul, for whatever reason. I get this picture of Paul, and I got to imagine that all of his friends and relatives that are with him in the room at this point, this is his fourth trial. And I got to be kind of thinking to myself that they're like, "Oh no, here goes Paul again. Please, Paul, don't do it. Like, it's, you're not getting anywhere by doing this, Paul. Like, can you just settle down on all this Jesus stuff for a minute? Like, shh, oh gosh, please don't do this again." That's the kind of Jesus freak that Paul was. That's the kind of person he was. It didn't stop him. Verse 2, it says, "In regards to all things which I'm accused by the Jews, I consider myself fortunate, King Agrippa, that I'm about to make my defense before you today, especially because you are an expert in all customs and questions among the Jews. Therefore, I beg you, listen to me patiently." Paul wouldn't shut up. He could not stop talking about Jesus Christ. And rightfully so. Because if Jesus Christ has come into your heart, you should be filled with such a powerful force inside of you that it cannot stop from bursting out of your mouth and your mind and everything that you think about. If God has changed you, Paul gives us the example of, hey, we got to get out there and talk about it. We're going to be peculiar. People are going to think we're weird, profound, controversial. And that's exactly the kind of audience that we need to be in front of. In fact, I think we're making a grave mistake by being quiet in 2020. Look at the damage that has been done all across our nation and the world as a result of us being quiet. How has being quiet helped? It hasn't. What could we potentially be doing generationally over the last 4 or 5 decades by being quiet about what God is doing in our lives? American culture is going to tell you, don't talk politics at the dinner table. Well, look where that's gotten us. I hate to say it, in an election year, I'm afraid I might get thrown down from this podium to even bring up politics. But like, really, look where that's gotten us. Don't talk politics, right? Let's not talk about it. Well, we'll just turn a blind eye and pretend like nothing's happening, right? That's working out really well, right? No, it's not. American culture tells us don't talk religion at the dinner table, right? That's what we've all been told. No politics, no religion, right? How's that working out for us? Not so hot, right? Maybe we should do the exact opposite. Maybe we should be a body of people who are boldly going out and proclaiming the name of Jesus Christ. Maybe we should be talking religion at the dinner table, at the lunch table, in the office, during the commute, at HEB, everywhere we go, at the bank. Maybe we should be the exact opposite. As a matter of fact, I'm pretty sure the Bible says in Matthew 28, 19 through 20, when Jesus gave the Great Commission, I'm pretty sure he said that y'all need to get out there and make disciples of all men, baptizing them in the name of Jesus Christ. Isn't that what he said? I'm quoting that. He said specifically, go out and talk too much. No silence. Silence kills. Jesus saves. And on that same point, I don't see any examples in the New Testament where Jesus or the apostles or anyone else considered whether their testimony or the truth of Jesus Christ would be uncomfortable or offensive. They simply spoke the word of Jesus Christ anyway. And I know that that's a little edgy for many people, but I challenge you today that we have to get out of our comfort zone as a church. We have to get out there on the edge. You're going to have to get a little bit uncomfortable if you want to further the gospel of Jesus Christ. The enemy is actively taking ground in our nation and our communities all around us. And it's our responsibility to preach, teach, and be an example of Jesus Christ everywhere we go. And remember, it's not always about preaching. Sometimes it's just about, hey, I just want you to know that I love Jesus Christ. And that might be the last thing you ever have to say, because from that point forward, whoever you told that to is going to be watching your behavior, watching how you act. They're going to see what God is doing in your life, and they're going to have their eyes on you. And sometimes that's all it takes. Sometimes that's all it is. And so I urge you, one last note on this topic is, if you feel that tug to talk about Jesus Christ to someone that you've met or seen or drove past or, you know, met at HEB, don't wait. Don't wait. You will make a mistake. And I know it because I've done it so many times myself. When I met someone, I was like, man, maybe I should just go ahead and tell them a little bit about what God's done in my life. And I decide for whatever reason not to. And not long after that, I felt the regret of, man, I should have talked to him. And so don't miss those opportunities. They're in front of you every day. My second point is that your story or your testimony is going to save other people. And we see this in Paul. Paul, again, he was tried by the Sanhedrin, the soldiers, Felix and Festus, and eventually he came to King Agrippa, who was the grandson of Herod the Great. Herod the Great was the one that tried to kill baby Jesus. Festus, the governor Festus, spoke with Agrippa because he was bewildered by the whole case. And he'd heard Paul's testimony, and he wasn't sure how to handle it. Let me read to you Acts 25 and verse 24 through 27. And this is where we find Festus talking to King Agrippa because he doesn't really know what to do. Festus says, King Agrippa and all of you gentlemen here present with us, you see this man about whom all the people of the Jews have appealed to me, both at Jerusalem and here, loudly declaring that he ought not to live any longer. But I found that he has committed nothing worthy of death, and he himself appealed to the emperor. So I decided to send him. Yet I have nothing definite about him to write to my lord. Therefore I've brought him before you all, and especially before you, King Agrippa, so that after the investigation has taken place, I might have something to write. For it seems absurd to me to be sending a prisoner and not indicate also the charges that are against him. Festus did not know what to do. And this is going to happen with you as well. As you begin to share your testimony of what God has done in your lives with other people, there will be people who don't know how to handle it. They don't understand it. They can't comprehend it. And they won't know what to do. And I say that because I want you to know that that's okay. Paul gave his testimony anyway. And I think that's what God is calling us to do as well. Understand that everybody's not going to fall in line with exactly how you believe when you believe at that very moment. But we must go out and plant those seeds anyway. Because some people will not know how to handle what we have to say. Some people will hear what we have to say and they'll feel empowered to act on it, but they won't. And yet others will actually be saved. And I prophesy over all of you in the sound of my voice right now that your testimony is going to save other people. Amen? Amen. Amen. Receive it. Acts 26 and 24 through 32, Festus tells Paul that he's crazy, that he's gone mad, and he's testifying before King Agrippa. And so Paul responds and says, Paul said, I'm not out of my mind, most excellent Festus, but I utter words of sober truth. For the king knows about these matters, and I speak to him also with confidence, since I am persuaded that none of these things escape his notice. For this has not been done in a corner. They've been out in public. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? Oh, he's bold right there, just right between the eyes. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you do. Agrippa replied to Paul, in a short time you will persuade me to become a Christian. And Paul said, I wish to God, whether that it's in a short time or a long time, not only you, but also all who hear my voice this day might become such as I am, except for these chains. Amen. People will be changed by your testimony. And you don't have to get all crazy with your testimony. You just have to go out and share it. You just have to share the truth. You have to share the truth of what Jesus Christ has done in your life. And we see this all throughout Acts, that Paul boldly preaches to people. He doesn't get all crazy. He just tells them his story. That's all he does. And you can share your story too. And the reason why your testimony is so important is because your interpretation of the scriptures, it's debatable, all right? Everything in the scriptures, people argue about. And that's what we're seeing in this church at this time. They're arguing about all the little differences, all the little nuances, all the little intricate details, and people will try to find a hole to get into so that they can separate that and say, no, I just don't know. But let me tell you something, church. They can't argue with what Jesus Christ has done in your life. They can't argue with that. And nobody can tell that story like you can. And I know that in this church, that every single person in this church has been touched by the hand of God at some point or another. You have a story to tell. There's not a single person that doesn't have some sort of testimony in this place about being healed, being delivered, being saved, being transitioned over to a Christian, being brought out of darkness into light. You have a story, and nobody can tell it like you can. And when you begin to tell that story, it's got power. There is power in your testimony. Power to save. Amen? The devil is terrified of you telling your story. Let me just tell you that. He doesn't want you sharing it because he knows what it can do. My third point for you today, and maybe my favorite part of this sermon, is that your testimony is for you also. What God has done in your life is meant for you to share with other people, but it's also meant for you to be your rock and your foundation in these dark times. And I know that everybody in this church has been affected in some way or the other over the past couple of months by all the things that are going on around the world today. And it's in these dark times that we're going to be facing giants. If you're not facing a giant today, right at this very moment, you probably will be in the next few months. Paul faced down his giants too. And I'm sure that Paul relied on his own testimony of what God had done in his life to get through those dark times. What do I mean by this? The next time you're facing some sort of anxiety, some sort of fear, some sort of worry about what the future holds, will I get sick? Will I not get sick? Maybe you have someone right now that's in the hospital, or you have financial worries, or any kind of worry you can think of. We all have it, right? The anxiety is there. The next time you are facing something like that, I want to challenge you to just open up a space and say, you know what, giant, I see you, I acknowledge you, but just hold on a minute, okay? Because I want to look back for just a moment at my testimony. I want to look back at those years of my life when God had me in the palm of his hands. I'm going to go back to my testimony of when God delivered me from sickness. I'm going to go back to my testimony when God delivered me from alcoholism and drug addiction and the dark world that I lived in. I'm going to go back to my testimony about how Jesus actually cured cancer in someone because I laid hands on them. I'm going to go back on my testimony and say, God, I got down on my knees and I prayed for you to come into my life. And Jesus, you showed up in my life and you changed me forever. I'm going to go back to my testimony and say, God, I was in a dark place and I prayed for the peace of God to come into my heart and your peace came over me. I'm going to go back to what God did for me and I'm going to say, God, I know that if you're big enough to deliver me from back there to where I'm at today, that you're big enough to deliver me past this giant right here that's in front of me. And as a matter of fact, giant, I'm going to look you right in the eyes and I'm going to say, my God is bigger, my God is better, my God will glorify his name while I defeat you, and you are defeated in the name of Jesus Christ because of the word of my testimony. Can I get an amen? Amen. Take a moment to look back over your life, and I just challenge you today when you leave this place to go back tonight in your prayer time, your quiet time, and just go back and revisit all the things that God has done in your life and all of the things that we've seen him deliver you through. And just know that we have to persevere. As a church, we have to persevere right now. It's the time right now. It's a dark time, and we are empowered to be light among the nations. And you're going to be a light that's burning even brighter when you go back and revisit your testimony and what God has done for you. Amen? Is this helping anybody today? All right, good, good, good. So you need to talk too much. You need to share your testimony as often as possible. And you need to use your testimony to strengthen yourself. The whole point of Acts is to take action. That's why they named it Acts. Maybe that's too simple, but that's truly what the whole book is about. It's about taking action. The church of Jesus can't be built without people like me and you taking action. And church, it really matters. And I think that's something important you've got to hear today. Your story is going to make a difference in someone's life. And you may change someone's life forever. Not just forever on this earth, but eternal blessings because of you sharing. I want to remind you something. Saul was every bit as passionate about destroying the church before he met Jesus as he was about building the church after he met Jesus. And something that I think somebody in here needs to hear today, sometimes I just tell myself, God, if I could just put half as much effort that I put into wrecking my life before I met you, if I could just even half of that effort into glorifying your name, what might happen? What might happen? You might be someone who starts a whole revelation. Something I often think about is when I get to heaven, I know that God's going to show me how this very sermon opened the door for thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people to be saved to the name of Jesus Christ. One word, one name, Jesus. You speak that name out into the darkness and you have no idea what might happen. You have no idea how powerful that name is. So I encourage you to do it. Be bold. Stand in truth. Stand on your testimony. And stand on the name of Jesus Christ. If you're going to do this today, you're going to need the Holy Spirit. And I think that's what you really see as one of the main themes all throughout Acts. You can't do this without the Holy Spirit. Because if you try, you're going to get in your own way. You don't want to be in the way of the gospel of Jesus. We need to ask for the Holy Spirit to help us. And so, church, I want to pray that. Would you stand with me? And with every head bowed and every eyes closed, I just want to give you the opportunity to come to Jesus, whether for the first time, you've never done it before, or you just want to rededicate right now, or you just need a fresh anointing to fall upon you, any one of those, you just call upon the name of Jesus. It's so simple. You just say, Jesus, I'm so lost without you. I've heard about your son who came to the cross to die for me, and I pray right now that you would forgive me and that you would come into my heart. It's just that simple. Jesus, come into my heart, whether it's the first time or you've asked him 100 times. It's always good. It never stops feeling good to ask Jesus, just come into my heart, Jesus. You have a will for my life, Jesus. I know it, and I just pray that your will would be revealed to me, that I would walk in your path according to your will, God, that I would glorify you, Lord. I know I can't do it without the Holy Spirit. So just begin to pray, Holy Spirit, come. You can just say it in your own words. Raise your hands up to heaven. Ask the Holy Spirit to fall. You can speak out, Lord, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, fall. Holy Spirit, fall upon this place. Holy, 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 holy are you, God. Holy are you, God. Holy Spirit, I need you to fill my mind. Holy Spirit, I need you to fall down from heaven and just take over my mind, God, that every thought would be captive, that your Holy Spirit would fill my mind, that there would be nothing of this earth in my mind, nothing of this flesh in my mind, but that I would be full of your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, fill my heart. Holy Spirit, fill my heart that I might have a heart like Jesus for all the lost people, that I wouldn't look to separate them from the church, but to join them with the church, that I wouldn't judge people and say, no, I don't think that person's ready to hear the name of Jesus, that my heart would be open. I know that my heart is not open enough, so I need the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, fall into my heart. Come into my soul. Come into my spirit. Oh, Holy Spirit, fall into me. Holy Spirit, fill me from the top of my head to the bottom of my toe so that I might glorify you, God. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would give me wisdom. Wisdom to know how to talk to people, Lord. Wisdom. Holy Spirit, give me utterance, Lord. Help my words form in my mouth that I might speak your name out into darkness and people would be changed, God. Help me to recall my testimony, Lord. Help me to remember all the times in my life when you saved me, when you were there, when I didn't even see you. God, reveal to me, Holy Spirit, reveal to me the times where you were standing with your hand on me and I didn't even know you were there, but you were preparing something for me, God, that would be greater than what I am today, that would be greater than what I was before. Holy Spirit, reveal to me how I can glorify your name, God. I want to be a life changing vessel, Lord God. I need you to fill me, Holy Spirit, so that when I walk out of this church today, that I could be filled up and go out into that dark world and be poured out for men and women who are lost. Pour me out, God. Pour me out all over this nation. God, I'm believing that this is a church that is a life-giving church. It's a life-changing church. And Lord, it's by your blood that we can go out and be difference makers in this world today. So God, I just pray, by the name of Jesus Christ, according to the Holy Spirit which you filled us with, by the Word of God, and in the name of Jesus, that you would send us out, disciples, to bring back a full bounty and a full harvest and be life-giving, life-changing disciples of you. In Jesus' name, amen.